Welcome to More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at Julieland.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who wants to cut a girl in half, Mr. Richard Avery.
Hello.
How you doing today, Dick?
I'm doing wonderful.
Wonderful.
And you?
I am fantastic.
It's good to hear.
I am having a magical day. Was that good?
Yeah, that was good.
Was that a lead in at all?
Yes,
there?
That was good. That was good.
So, do you know much about magic?
I just know how to make girls disappear.
Really?
Yeah.
I do too.
I pay them and then they leave.
You know, my girl just vanished off to Vegas for 2 days.
Good.
It's kind of nice.
Actually. It's a blessing. Let's be honest.
And you know, the only thing I get really is pictures her naked with another girl.
Good.
I'm like. Huh.
I would think you'd be the happiest guy right now.
I'm a little happy about it. Yeah. I've been periscoping about it.
Yeah. I would just say, like, go, honey, go have fun. Call me when you're done.
She said she may stay another night, and I'm like, oh really? Please. Huh. Yeah, I have work to do. Yeah, do that.
I would be like, stay three, stay four.
I'll see you on Monday. I'll come over.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, besides Alex being gone, we're here to talk about magic, and I have made a magician appear here in the studio. Crow Garrett, how are you today?
Hey, buddy. I'm good. You?
Good. Where should we start? Let me think. Go ahead and explain what you're a magician, but go ahead and give me, what do you do for a living?
Basically, I'm a comic book nerd with a deck of cards.
A comic book nerd with a deck of cards. Now, are there a few of those out there?
Oh, every single one. Every magician that is out there is a comic book nerd with a deck of cards.
Really? Basically, I see it as every magician is a kid.
Yes.
Like, you're in touch with your inner child.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I go to Disneyland all the time because...
Is the magic store still there on Main Street?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go with this then. Okay, so English majors... work at bookstores if there's any left. Actors or waiters.
Mm-hmm.
You're a magician. What do you do as your side job?
Perform for children is the sad part about it. But
but you're still doing magic.
Yeah. Hey. Still doing magic. There's always something
a real
there.
Career, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
There's always something there with magic.
So it's not you're not saying, oh yeah, I'm in a band, but I work at McDonald's on the side. You actually,
yeah, no.
This is your full-time
this
job.
This is my full-time job. I travel all over the world. This is all I do for a living.
Oh, so
wow.
All over the world.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So where's the coolest place you've been to do magic?
Singapore.
Wow.
Love Singapore. Absolutely one of the best trips I've ever had. I love all the other countries.
I have a friend there
to.
Right now.
Yeah?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I should say we have a friend there right now.
We have so many friends. We have friends in Dubai.
Yeah, exactly.
We have friends in London.
Tell your friend to try the stingray. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Okay.
So my question is about magic is how old were you when you started?
I started at the age of 5.
Now, I want to point out that Richard Avery's eyes are lit up like right now, like a kid in front of...
Well,
you know,
I'm in touch with my inner child, too.
You're in touch with your child right now.
I love magic.
Stop touching the kid.
I love magic.
Leave it alone.
I love magic. Magic's
cool. So
please
continue, because I just wanted to point it out. It's rare that Mr. Avery is this excited.
This is why we don't have video porn podcasts.
Exactly. Wait, what?
Well, a little bit before the actual podcast started, Richard was explaining some of his interest in magic, and guy knows a lot of names. Absolutely,
yeah, I can drop
I'm
a name.
Impressed,
or two.
So, I'm impressed with what you already know. So,
when did you see it? When did you say like when did the moment happen? And I can't, you know, don't tell me five, but I could understand that. But where you went,
this is
really cool. Like I think I want to do this.
No, 5 years old, elementary school, there was a big class, like school presentation of one of the kids' fathers was a magician, came out, did a whole magic show and everything, and I'm sitting there in the audience, and I couldn't comprehend. This is my first time seeing magic. I was a little punk kid that couldn't comprehend the idea that, like, some people might be born with the magic powers or so. Like, I just saw this and said, I'm going to be that guy. Yeah. I can be the guy that can get into the box and get the cool chicks.
Yeah.
Still single.
Okay, wait. Now, Richard,
I felt the same way as a photographer.
Yeah,
I started when
I
was 10.
And I
were both. I'm going to get the girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't get the girls.
We all went out to get the girls in photography. That's what you wanted to do. So you went out to get the girls with magic.
Yeah. And it's, I will say yes, as everybody loves to ask me, can you pick up chicks with magic? It is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, you end up looking like the kind of weird dude who does the amusing thing.
Yeah. They don't take you seriously. He's fun. Yeah. He's cute. He's funny. That's neat. Okay, never mind.
Well, there was that dating advice guy that did that for a while. Whatever his name was, Mystery. He was like advising guys, you should learn how to do a magic trick, and then the girls will follow over you. You can actually do hey, look, a quarter behind your ear.
The thing with Mystery is, and I give a lot of credit to him, he is actually a magician. Mm-hmm. He was a magician before he started working with the pickup game and stuff. What is the book? I think it's called The Game. The book is.
Closer to the mic.
Mystery, basically what The Game is every single thing that a magician does when he goes to approach people in the world of walk-around magic. So if I'm going at it like a banquet, table to table, and in the magic world we call that just table hopping, doing magic for big groups of people or so, how we approach them is the exact same way that The Game would approach a girl. To be able to say, hey, like, hi, how are you? You don't just start with deck of cards in the hands. You start by a little bit of conversation, open yourself up, find out what they do for a living, create a connection, and then you go from there.
And then you steal their wallet.
Yes.
Have you stolen a wallet?
Yeah, and you don't even have to steal it. You just ask for it. When you do magic and you have a deck of cards, everybody gives you everything.
That's what I love about magic and magicians, though. Like, it goes back to me for it's the craft. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the illusions and the tricks themselves, but it is an art.
Yeah.
And there's an art. The art of presentation. It's the art of the dialogue. It's the art of working with the audience one-on-one. I used to always like close-up magic, one-on-one shit. Mm-hmm. Like when you sit in one-on-one with somebody and it's like mind-blowing, and then they lift up that cup and you see an orange and you're like, how the fuck did an orange get in there? It's amazing, but it's that whole presentation. It's the dialogue. And then when you see it done by somebody who's a master at it, then it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
That's my favorite. It's the close-up magic as well. I've been to the Magic Castle, and that's where that's where I got exposed to it. Here's 3 feet away from me, some guys doing some amazing things. And that's what I enjoy. The big, put on the whole show,
David Copperfield.
That was fun. I've seen David Copperfield a number of times, and that was fun, and I enjoyed it. But I was also sitting, 300 feet back because I'm in a huge 5,000-seat theater. And, this was here, 3 feet away, look. And I enjoy that. Do you have a preference of what you enjoy performing versus what you enjoy watching?
I like to do it all, but one of my favorite things to do is go to the Magic Castle when I have a night off and I'm not doing anything. And I'll go to, they have the impromptu tables, the tables that if it's open, a magician member can just come up and start doing a little performance or so. And I like the idea of not performing, but just hanging out. Mm-hmm. So I'll spend 45 minutes and only do one trick, but have the most enjoyable evening of my time with these strangers that I don't know, just because I get that intimacy of, here's something cool that I can do. Let's get to know each other. Right. And that's what I love, is that close-up type stuff. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite illusion at all?
That's a tough one.
I'm talking about a big thing, big production. Is there one or a magician or a performance that you just said, Like for me, like I said, it was Doug Henning cutting two people in half at the same time.
Yeah,
hot babes in half.
Mm. I mean, if I want to go for the what every magician would probably say, I could probably say David Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear. But no,
it didn't.
How do you
I
know?
Watched it live on television.
Seriously,
or recorded on VHS. I don't recall.
After he did that illusion, did he make the World Trade Centers disappear, or was that Al Qaeda?
Bum bum.
Oh,
I went there
too soon.
Wow.
I will never
forget that you said that.
Way too soon. But no, as far as performances go, one of my favorite performers, and you can look him up on YouTube because he only really does one act. It's about a 7-minute long act, and it's a guy from Korea named Yoo Ho Jin, and he does card manipulation. But and you get a lot of especially on YouTube, you can see a lot of Asian magicians doing manipulation or making cards and little balls disappear all over the place. Insert sexual innuendo there.
It was there. I had to go with it.
Yep.
He's saying you can't trust the Asians.
No, no,
no. That's what I heard.
They're magical.
Yeah. They're magical.
But this particular guy, the first time I saw the video of him doing this act, I cried. The second time I saw it, I felt still the exact same emotion, no tears. And then I got to see it live in person, and I cried again. Yeah. So it's the first time I've ever seen something along those lines where I've actually had so much emotion that a guy.
I have to say, I could say that. I always say, I just love magic. I love the art of it, like I said. And I've seen some performances that have just blown my mind and just being like, oh, that's just amazing. And like I said, it doesn't even matter about the trick. I don't even know about that so much. It's just about the whole way it's put together. And I always say, that's the thing I've said to people too, is you can go on YouTube and say, pick an illusion like, what's it called? Modern art.
Yeah.
Simple illusion like modern art, which is really simple. Or zigzag or something that's really ridiculous. But you take modern art and you can go on YouTube and Google modern art or search modern art and you'll find like 20 different people doing that illusion. Mm-hmm. And it's the one person who presents it perfectly and not the stupid, cheesy, magic, standard, crazy outfit they might wear. And you just go, that's what separates the men from the boys and the pros from the amateurs and the wannabes. And it's those, and every once in a while you get that, you find those people that are just, that get it. They get this is something, like I said, everybody can do that. You can buy that illusion online if you wanted it.
Just take Zigzag alone, because I like to use this as an example when talking to other young up-and-coming performers. Zigzag alone by itself, nobody likes to perform it nowadays because everybody's seen it. Nobody feels this connection with it.
Now, real quick to jump in here, because you guys are now speaking over my head. To the other people listening, I'm going to help you out, guys. Let's explain Zigzag.
Do you know what Zigzag is?
I have no idea, and I'm going to assume that a majority of people do not.
Okay. I guarantee they don't. Zigzag is a large box. It's a stand-up box where a magician brings a young female out onto the stage. She gets into the box and then takes two blades that are going into the middle portion of the tummy area of the box, and then that tummy area slides all the way over to a side onto a shelving that's also connected to this illusion.
So it looks like she's her midsection has been slit.
I have seen this. Okay.
But everybody's kind of seen it. Nobody really cares about it because people do it with music of bump, 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 keep it going fast pace, and it kind of dies off. The person who originated the zigzag and magicians, I apologize. I'm really bad with
names. I'm thinking somewhere in the 50s, 60s.
I think before then.
Really?
I think before then. But Harbin, I believe, and if I get that wrong, I'm so going to get scolded for this in the magic world. But Harbin.
I could just see you're going back to the magic castle tonight. They're like,
how could you not know?
We heard that. You're not allowed in.
I'm just really bad with trying to remember names all the time. But Harbin, when he performs it, he was the first one to really do it. He was the first one to really make this illusion amazing back in black and white and everything. And if you watch him perform it, that's the way it should be done. Because I sit there and I've seen all these guys perform this, and nobody's connected me to this prop to really care about it. They just use it to music and some dancing and quick little spins of the girl pirouetting and stuff like that. And I watch this guy who brings an audience member on the stage and says, inspect this box. Look at this. No trap doors, no nothing? Cool. Let's bring out my assistant. Assistant comes out in this amazing gown and everything. She gets inside the box. And then he has this audience member actually help him throughout this whole illusion of saying, we're going to take this blade right here, and hits it on his hand or so, and has the audience member put it into this little slot where we're cutting through her tummy and everything. And it really becomes a powerful moment to be able to see that.
No, I agree. I think, again, it's all about presentation, baby.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've seen that. I've seen that before, and it's quite often. It's one of the ones that you see on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the 70s. I think, honestly, I think that was every magician had that illusion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Between that and sawing and.
Yeah, and that's. Can you saw a woman in half?
Can I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the right budget, yeah.
There we go. Exactly. And have you ever pulled a rabbit out of a hat?
Wow. No, actually, thinking back on it, I've never worked with a rabbit.
Where do we get guests like this? Magician can't pull a rabbit out of a hat.
This guy's never done it.
I thought he had magic skills.
No. No.
Can you make this pain go away? Can you make it disappear, please?
No, throughout my career, I've worked with birds. I've worked with tigers. I've worked with all sorts of different animals. surprisingly or not, I think the start of my career was when the rabbits kind of went, nah, we don't need those anymore. So I've never worked
that's
with
when
a
you,
rabbit.
You don't piss off PETA.
No, exactly.
Oh, they're, oh man.
No yeah, animals were harmed in the yeah. making of this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's go with here. We're mm-hmm. talking about magic, what you do for a living. And like most people that have a career that people are interested in and want to talk about, I work in the adult industry. You do.
Nothing.
I mean, it's like people always want to go through and talk to you about it. Does it ever get boring? Does it ever get old? Do you ever want to talk about something else?
To be truthfully honest, to me, what I've noticed about magic compared to other type of industry things, if you're a cook and you go to a house party or so and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, so what's your name? Blah, 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 blah. What do you do? I'm a chef. All right, cool. That's awesome. Magic tends to be that one art form. I can't think of really anything else because even if you're a singer, I don't see anybody saying, all right, sing me something right now. Magic is that one thing.
There's one other profession.
Yep. What's this?
Hooker.
Hooker. Do
you're
it
a hooker?
Right now.
Hey, can you blow me right now?
Well, no, at a house party? That would be great.
I was going to say because
if you have the money, it'll happen.
Comedians have the same issue, and I've heard this where comedians often say that the number one question they hate is,
tell me a joke. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you get, when somebody says that, do they say, ooh, show me a trick?
Yeah, 100% of the time. If I mean, even on my Tinder profile, I say that I run a small entertainment business. I won't even say that I'm a magician. Because that's the number one thing everybody says.
Yeah.
Show me a trick. And it happens. I love it. I'm okay with it. I love my job. I'm happy to actually entertain, even in a nonchalant area.
But wouldn't it be nice to get paid for it? Because people ask me all the time, you're a photographer. Will you take my pictures for me? Will you do my headshots for me?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Well, will you pay me? And then they go, oh, no, yeah. I don't have any money. Then I'm going like, well, then why don't you? I'll shoot your picture if you come over and do your job for me for free. How's that? Mm-hmm. And they all look at you like, oh, never mind.
You know what's funny? It's the first time when we met or in the first couple times that we've been around each other.
Yeah.
I've never actually asked him to show me a trick, but you know why? Because I had Alex there going, hey, show him a trick.
Yeah.
See? I'm like, yes!
Was she doing it like this with her boobs out? Hey,
no,
show me a trick.
No, she doesn't even have to do that.
Okay.
I'm easy. I work easy. No, like I say, like I have no problem with somebody saying show me a trick. But keep in mind, I'm not your typical performer. Mm-hmm. I am very sarcastic. I am
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I can be somewhat of a jerk.
You're fitting right in here. So, you can hang out with us anytime.
So, but when I get those show me a trick moments, I'm a jerk and I'm gonna have fun with it. Yeah. I'm gonna make sure that this becomes fun time for me, so that way it's
exactly.
Not, yeah.
But I think that's the thing about magicians too. Is like everybody has to have a sense of style, whatever it is, and I get mad when other magicians kind of criticize other magicians on any level because I always say to myself, like, hey, just they're doing their thing. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, doesn't. And if they have success with it, that's their thing.
You know, let's see how successful this goes. So magic is typically a visual art,
mm-hmm.
and this is an audio art. Do you have any – is it audio art? We're not art. Trust me. We're lowbrow.
Could you have any audio tricks?
Do you have any audio tricks?
Audio tricks.
Watch. My sound can disappear. And I'm back.
Audio tricks. Well, there.
How about he does a trick and I describe it? I'll be like the color commentator.
Okay, here we go.
Like I'll be like Bob Costas.
I mean, part of being a good performer is to be able to take a situation anywhere and to be able to do something with it. So you don't have to describe it. I will actually.
You will describe it.
I will try to portray this as we're going along.
Okay.
Deck of cards in my hands. Mo, if you could just reach over and go ahead and pull out one card. Perfect. Don't show it to me. Show it to Richard.
Ooh. Okay.
Perfect. Got it, Richard?
Got it.
Awesome. Mo, I forgot to tell you. I'm going to actually take your card back from you right now, but I'm going to do a trick, and after I do that trick, you have to do the exact same trick back to me.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Ooh. All right. So card goes about halfway or so into the deck. Now, just to show you, Mo, it's not on top, correct?
No.
Not? Good. Good. That would have been very weird
that
if the card was on the top
weird.
Of the deck. Went into the middle. It's also not on the bottom, correct?
It is not.
Oh, perfect. Now, Mo, there are two secrets to this trick, and I will actually explain this to you. Sorry, magicians, I'm explaining magic on air. So the first secret to this trick is a secret move that is called Shake.
Okay. Okay.
You take the deck of cards in your hand and you shake it just like so.
Okay.
The other secret is taking your other hand and snapping your fingers.
Okay.
So when you shake and snap, that will actually cause one card to come straight up to the top. Now, on top of the deck, flipped over, is now the Three of Spades. Mo, was your card the Three of Spades?
Yes, yes, my card
was that it?
Now, I want to point out, I've been staring in his hand, like going, okay, I know, this is it. No, he wants me to look at him, but I'm looking in his hand. And at some point, I don't know how you pulled that off.
No.
I'm literally...
It's a shake and snap.
8 inches.
It's easy. Shake and snap. You could do it.
No.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay, here we go. We're going to do it. We're going to take your card. We're going to put it into the middle of the deck. Go ahead, push it in.
Okay.
Perfect. Hold out the hand. Squeeze. First move was...
Shake.
Second move was
snap.
Flip over the top card.
Oh fuck!
Look at you, Mo.
Okay,
woo, Mo, you're a magician.
No, okay. Mo. You know what really surprises me about this?
What?
When I did it, Richard didn't clap either.
Oh shit! Okay, so now here's part of this.
But
I just deck of cards.
I just realized. Could you not agree though that if he became a professional magician, calling himself the average Mo.
That would be awesome.
No, okay.
So I'm the average magician.
No, I'm holding this deck of cards. Average magic. I just watched this. Yeah. I watched you do it. Yeah. I'm holding it, doing this whole thing. I have zero clue how you did this. And what really makes me feel good. No, actually, I realize I don't. I mean, I find it entertaining.
I'm going
to
tell you.
But part of it is I don't want to. It's like, oh my God, that joy of doing it.
Uh-huh. I'm going to ruin it. It's done with mirrors.
Really? Well, is that what? Wait. You held out that long?
He was an hour
here
before.
He was here an
hour here before you, an hour, and he planted all these mirrors.
Okay, so now how many Three of Spades are there in there?
Well, here. We'll take the whole entire deck. We'll actually show you. Looking at the faces of all the cards, there is no other Three of Spades in this whole entire deck.
Full deck.
Mo, you just did magic. High five first.
Thank you.
Now, since you did such a great job, I will actually give you a challenge now. Okay. I will take your Three of Spades and I will bend it. Bending the Three of Spades becomes a big pain in the ass for magicians. Magicians hate that bent card.
Okay.
Reason being, you can see it, you can follow it, you can see that bent card goes about halfway or so into the deck, correct?
Okay.
Go ahead, hold out your hand again, Mo. Squeeze. First move was?
Shake.
Second move was?
Snap.
Now, Mo, do not flip over that top card just yet.
Okay.
The first thing I want you to do, I want you to check, is there now a bent card on the top of that deck?
Yes, there is.
There is?
There is a bent card
There
on
is
the
a
deck.
Bent card. Yes. Go ahead, flip that card over. What is that card?
He's good.
What
He's
is good. It is the Three of Spades.
The Three of Spades bent right there. Mo, you are amazing.
Yes. Mo is...
See, now, what I love is he's obviously done this before where he's... Is this a go-to where it's easy, where you can bring somebody into... this conversation. You've brought somebody into where they can experience it. Instead of you just showing, they can now experience this.
Yeah.
I just can't wait from here on. I want you to come to every show and do some more tricks for us, okay?
I show up. I think that's pretty
good magic. You want Mo to do it?
Him. I was thinking he's doing tricks now. I mean, come on.
Because I'll be truthfully honest. It's shake and snap, but I help.
Exactly. Shake and bake, and I helped.
That is actually the name of that trick. It's that is something that I kind of created. It's an old trick. Di Vernon was the first one to, name drop there, was the first one to create a effect called the ambitious card, which is exactly what that trick is. It's the ambitious card, but I did a slight different variations of being able to take the exact same trick and put it into other people's hands.
I'm sure you've, through your years, you've been doing this, you've been doing all the different things and dabbled in everything. Do you do cups and balls or chop cup or anything like that?
I have in the past. Yeah. In the past, it's you learn so much by doing things like that.
Yeah. I remember seeing cups and balls, like on Merv Griffin or something. Like, and just like done the first time, just blown away.
Like slide
that whole routine. Just the whole thing, and you're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah, if done right, it's amazing. I mean,
it's one of the best. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think one of the best like close up things out there.
Yeah, one of my favorite performers with a chop cup, which is cups and balls, is three cups, three balls, and it's one more than usual. And you go through this performance of amazing magic where things appear and disappear under the cups, on top of the cups, all over the place. A chop cup is actually a one cup routine, where it's one cup, one ball, and it becomes a game of, like, is the ball in my pocket or is the ball underneath the cup? And it's almost like an old gambling game of the three shells and the pea kind of thing. But one of my favorite versions of the Chop Cup routine is a guy by the name of Mike Bashada, who works at the Magic Castle. He is a bartender, but at the same time, he is also one of the best magicians I've ever seen.
Wow.
And he performs that all the time, where amazing endings.
Wow.
Becomes a very fun routine. Love this guy.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Now, how long do you practice? Obviously, you don't just wake up and go, look, I can do magic. How often do you have to say, it's like, woo, ta-da, I'm awake.
I'm Gandalf.
Santa Claus isn't real.
But, I mean, how long do you work to master your craft?
All the time. I'll be sitting on a couch. There'll be a deck of cards in my hands. I'll be walking through McDonald's. Yeah. There's always something going on in my mind. There's always a processing of this idea of what can I do next and how far can I take this.
Yeah. I think anytime I've ever seen you in, this is at the castle, other places, anywhere, mm-hmm. you've always had a deck of cards with you. And it's like, and it's not even to go, oh, hey, look, let me show you. It's like almost like you're just, it reminded me of like the squeeze stress ball. Actually, that's what
I know when I was younger and I used to do card tricks and stuff like that. I'm the same way. I was a lot younger when I was doing it, but I always had to have cards too. And I was always practicing the moves, this, that. And I can cut deck with one hand. My uncle showed me how to cut a deck with one hand, which I thought was thrilling.
It's
you have to practice.
It becomes somewhat of like a OCD thing. Yeah. Like I don't feel comfortable when I leave home unless I'm going to the gym, because having a deck of cards on a treadmill probably might be weird.
Look,
that would be awesome.
Cards everywhere.
Oh, I should film that. That would be great.
That'd be really good.
But real fast, going back to something that Mo said earlier, when you were watching that trick, and this is something that I also get all the time, of how do you do it and stuff. For me, I have a particular answer where I tell people I'm just badass. That's one of my like taglines. But the what you said following that, I want to know how it's done, but at the same time, I don't. Is amazing to me, and that's why I do this. That's why I love doing magic, because what you just described was this childlike excitement.
Yeah.
You just saw a magic trick, and you just became a child. You're a grown man who does, honestly, I think your job is probably more impressive than my job.
Oh, no.
For what you get to do. But at the same time,
This is the kind of the way I put it, and I've used this analogy seriously probably for 35 plus years. I always tell people when you're, because I used to like magic and I used to do my little magic. When you find out how a girl is cut in half and then you see the trick, you lose that wonderment. Yeah. And I hate that, because that's I want to always keep that. And it's the same way when I felt when I first started shooting porn stars. I was like, I want to shoot porn stars. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's like this a magic trick.
No, it's
then
not.
I start meeting then I start meeting the porn stars. Like, no, it's not. It's not a magic trick. And then you ruin the illusion. And it's the same thing. I started shooting. I used to love hockey players. I want to meet Wayne Gretzky. Start shooting these guys, and then you realize they're just a bunch of dumb Canadian farm boys. And you're like, oh man, that wonderment goes away, and I hate losing that.
Specifically, what I actually tell people when I get the question of like, I want to know how you did that. Yeah. Can you tell me? And I tell people this: I have no problem actually telling you. I'm still going to have a job. I'm still going to be able to travel the world. It doesn't matter to me whether or not you know how this trick is done. In all honesty, you could probably go to YouTube and find a very bad version of it. And somebody teaching a very bad version of it. But what I explain to people is that childlike wonder that you, Mo, just had right now. That is the exact same excitement that you had every morning that you woke up on Christmas Day and you ran down the stairs and you saw those presents underneath the tree. Yeah. And then one day, many years later, might be 13, 14, who knows what age that was. 35 years old, and mom and dad finally explained the big secret of Santa Claus. And that's when your childhood just went boom, done. So to me, these magic tricks are a moment of time to give adults that childlike wonder.
First of all, are you saying there's no Santa?
No, there is.
Okay, good.
Well, no, there I have is. To say, I'm 38, and somebody just actually pointed out on set, a female talent pointed out on set, that I'm not, as I appear on, say, Twitter, or probably as my show, things like that. I'm at work. I'm in a serious mode. Yeah. I have responsibility. Woo! A couple weekends ago, whatever, I went and saw the Minion movie.
Yeah.
I'm a 38-year-old man, and those Minions make me laugh. I don't care. I went and saw that in 3D and was, I had so much fun. I really enjoyed myself. And there are people out there, you're a grown-up, you shouldn't.
I still need to go see it.
They make me laugh. I have no fucking clue why, but it really doesn't matter. I enjoy myself. And when I have people on my set that go through and go, you actually laugh? oh my God, like, we never see that. It's like, yeah. This is but my I think, time. So I things think, like this do. It does give
I
me
think
that.
What you what yeah. you said is exactly like what I've always said through the years. Yeah. Is like when people say, how's it done? I go, you don't really, honestly, you don't
really
want to know.
You don't, yeah.
You just don't want to know.
Yeah, because the moment you find out Santa Claus just died.
Yeah.
And it's a sucky moment. Yeah. So and that's what I love about magic. It's almost therapeutic in a way where people can take their night and go see a magic show and actually every single thing bad that's happened throughout that whole entire day just goes away for that brief moment in time.
Exactly.
And that's what I love about this job.
Yeah.
You know, I had one opportunity that I didn't have the opportunity, but I put it out there. I had a guy that worked at a place and he's like, I'd love to come to one of your sets. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to go to your place of work. He works at the Hot Pocket Factory. And I was like, I'm sorry, you work where? He's asking me questions about my job, and I'm more interested in his job. No, wait. Okay, wait. So how do they squeeze this stuff into? And he's explaining how they make Hot Pockets. And I was like, I will bring you on a set if you can get me into the Hot Pocket Factory. I want to see that so bad. And he couldn't grasp why I was so fast. Because it's Hot Pockets. It's just one of those things. It's crap in a thing in a freezer, and I want to see how it's made.
Just to explain to your listeners, when you just said Hot Pocket Factory, my eyes just got huge. I so want to go to a Hot Pocket Factory.
I know. Find this guy. Let's bring him on as a guest.
Hey, the sad part is I think it's easier for me to get him on a set than it is for him to get me in the Hot Pocket Factory. He said he didn't think he'd pull it off. I was like, wow. That is sad.
Because they don't want you to like see.
CIA. Exactly. They don't want to see.
Is this like some sort of like CIA Hot Pocket thing?
Exactly.
Like nobody knows the secret to Hot Pocket.
So you're working, you're mm-hmm. a young guy, you're still, you know, in your prime. Yeah. What are your goals? Are you going to continue on with magic? Do you have, what's your next goal? What's your next big thing that you want to do?
HBO special.
That would be cool. That'd be awesome if HBO finally like brought magic back. I mean, the last one that I really remember doing an HBO special was Amazing Jonathan, but, which shout out to AJ. I love that guy.
You can do a YouTube special.
We should.
Yeah, there you go.
That's actually, one thing that I've really loved the idea of is I don't have cable at my place, at my apartment. There's no cable. I just go off of Apple TV and plug right there. And so I love Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I would like to actually see some sort of like magic series or so on Netflix or something like that.
Do we want to get Bill Bixby to come back?
Let's do this.
Remember his show? That was in the 70s before your time.
No. Skip Bill Bixby. I love that.
I know.
Love
the He did a show called The Magician.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about like a more like a live show, not a drama.
Either or. Like to me, magic in just the public eye is a great thing, no matter what it is. It's a
like anything, magic like a band performance, like whatever, is better live. It's of course, and it's hard to translate on TV. But some people have done it mm-hmm. and pulled it off here and there in spots. You know what I mean?
Oh, David Blaine.
Yeah,
David Blaine, amazing guy who was able to pull off magic on television and got a lot of
people have done it well, and you got to give mm-hmm. props for that.
Now, are there any movies that you've seen? Because I know there's been a few movies in recent, but has there been movies that you've looked at and said, they got it right? This is...
Probably the movie that got it the most accurate and absolutely correct, that you'll be surprised by this answer, but Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, that's funny.
Burt Wonderstone, I feel, absolutely got the epitome of what a magician is. Like, if you get the magician off stage and you're able to look at their personal life, it might be a little sad. It's just like comedy in a way.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's not full
very
of
much
excitement.
Like comedians.
Yeah,
very much so.
See, I was going for that Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman one. What was that?
The Prestige.
The Prestige. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of accuracy to that movie as well. There's a lot of magicians who absolutely, like, rivalries in magic are way back to.
I know. There was always that kind of like.
I was really just picturing like your car exploding out the side while you're in here going, oh, the rivalry. He's got somebody. There's somebody.
That Mark Wilson, that son of a bitch.
Yeah, well,
he's been trying to kill me for years.
Yeah. Well, if we go back many, many, many years ago, Chung Ling Soo, who is actually referenced in The Prestige, mm-hmm. The young magician who was pretending to be an old man so he could do that goldfish bowl routine. The one thing that they actually left out of the movie that I've always been fascinated with is that he was actually a Englishman pretending to be a Chinese magician. Like, he was born in England. His real name was William. Nobody ever knew that he was actually English until the day he died, when he kind of blurted out the words, "Oh shit," or something along those lines.
A spot at sea, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But,
then they're like, what?
Yeah. But when he died, he died on stage. He's one of the, I believe, 13 people to have died by getting shot by doing the trick, the bullet catch of trying to catch a bullet, being shot across the stage in the middle of your teeth. And, he got shot and killed, doing that. And, a lot of people, because of his fame and notoriety at that time, a lot of people believe that he was that guy that had, like, a mafia of some sorts behind, like, the magic mafia of trying to go out and kill them. Like when Valentino put on the mask and started showing the world how magic tricks were done, everybody came up with this idea that there's a magic mafia out there that was putting hits out on him, but,
eh. Was that the guy that was doing all that shit?
Yeah, his real name was Valentino.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I don't even know.
I just thought, like,
no, what we don't know.
I get the, you know, you think about if you're a producer of that show or doing that stuff. I always say, I get the fact that, okay, I get it. It's going to get numbers. People are going to make money and you're going to spoil a bunch of tricks and da da da. But at the end of the day, you're like, whatever. Like, whatever.
Nobody remembers.
Yeah.
Like, everybody remembers that he did it. Nobody remembers how the tricks are done.
Yeah.
So you can bring those tricks back. I mean, it's, if you really have the interest, then what I do like about that particular show is that it got kids into wanting to learn magic.
Right.
It was a starting point for people to go, oh, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm curious and they want to go further off than that. Yeah. But are the producers of that particular show, I will give Valentino at least a little bit of credit for the fact that he was approached at least 5 times before he finally said yes.
Yeah.
Fox went to him 5 times, offered him, and kept raising the money up until finally he said, all right, might as well.
All right.
Well, so Crow, for people out there in average Mo land, if they want to come see you live, and I'm sure they will, and I highly encourage them to, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at crowgarrett.com, or actually, I don't think crowgarrett.com is up anymore, but Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just type in Crow Garrett and you'll find me.
And there's live, ways to find you, go see you live?
Oh, yeah. I'll post up whatever performances are happening that are open to the public. I get a lot of private shows that happen a lot, but anything that's open to the public, I always encourage people to come out and see.
Perfect. Well, Crow, thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate you magically appearing here.
Ah,
look at that. It was the cheesiness. Well, my name is Mo Reese. You've been listening to More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX, or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of photos, videos, and you can listen to this show. Thanks for listening.